on the inside. She got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like Caroline. Caroline. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Hyper Caroline Hobby. I am your host, Caroline Hobby. I know music, I know people, and I know the questions you want to ask. So let's get hyper. Heads up, these are adults having adult conversations, so there could be adult content. Hey, y'all. Welcome to Hyper Caroline Hobby. I am Caroline Hobby, and this week we have Corey Crowder. He is a baller producer. He just produced all of Chris Young's album. He's also producing Cassidy Pope, and he's a hit songwriter. He wrote I'm Coming Over and Think of You for Chris Young, and Think of You was a duet with Chris Young and Cassidy Pope that was off the chain. And he just had a baby girl named Carolina Joy. We were talking about it in the interview, and she wasn't out the oven yet, and she just popped out a little sweet girl named Carolina Joy. So y'all get ready to welcome the amazing Corey Crowder. Hi, Corey Crowder.
Hi, what's up?
How's it going?
It's going great.
Well, I'm so excited to be here with you today.
I'm excited to be here.
And a lot of people, it's really exciting too, because you're like my husband Michael's doppelganger and brother from another mother.
Yep. He's one of my best buds ever.
And y'all match.
We
match. The way you look.
We match. He's the long-haired rock star version of me. Much skinnier version too.
Oh, whatever. Y'all are both ripped.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shredded. Shredded. I got that dad bod.
Oh, my God.
They're in right now.
What is the dad bod exactly?
It's like... Do you really want to know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, 15, 20 pounds of extra excess loving. Little loving, you know, maybe a little man boob, maybe a little flat, you know, tie around the waist.
Well, you have more people to love.
I do. Hey, there's a lot of me to love.
Well, and like, you have to love your wife, yeah. Your son, and you have a new baby coming
so
any
good,
day.
So I just need more of me to give.
There, yeah, that's why that makes sense, the dad bod
that
diet.
That Sonic I had this morning, that was just to give love.
It's all you could do. Sometimes it's the only option.
Yeah, it was it. That was all I had. It was Urban Juicer down the road, but Sonic was like, nah, Urban Juicer looks like I'll be just stressed out the rest of the day.
Well, and then it might give you like the runs or something because all that vegetable juice.
Sonic definitely doesn't give you the runs, right?
Okay, so I'm going to start off with a few questions.
All right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
If your life were a song, what would the title be? Because you're a hit songwriter, so that's only fitting.
My life were a song, it would be the long and bumpy road.
Why do you say that?
It's been a long and bumpy road, but awesome. It's been, it's at least been scenic.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the 2-minute version is, you know, I started out, playing bars.
Where are you from?
I'm from Georgia.
Okay.
Small town, Loganville. Started out playing bars.
Yep.
And then just like everybody.
Yeah.
And then that turned into like writing for, I wrote a bunch of TV stuff, had a bunch of TV songs on TV shows.
Which, okay, tell that story because that's really interesting, random, and like doesn't happen to everyone.
Right. So, I mean, I was just a kid who thought I was just going to play bars for fun. And then I had music on MySpace, if you remember MySpace.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Like dating myself now that
we're old.
Yeah, we are.
I mean, the
it
fact
sucks.
That MySpace is like no young kids even know what that is.
I know. Well, MP3.com was my first, you know, nobody even remembers that.
I don't even know what that is.
So, yeah. So,
and we're the same age. How old are you? 30?
I turned 33 this year.
Me too.
Wow. All right.
We're twins.
So the guy from Buna Murray, which does like Real World, Road Rules.
Okay.
The Kardashians, all that stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, he calls me and he's like, you want to be a cast member on Real World? We're casting like a musician aspiring to do this. And I just knew what they were going to do to me. They would put me on the show and they'd get me drunk and they'd put like a bunch of beautiful women around me and make me look like the guy, the jerk that, you know.
And that's just not your personality.
No, it couldn't be any less of a personality. So I was like, man, I'm not going to fulfill the role you want me to fill. How about you just use my music? And I was joking, really.
And how
like,
old were you at this point?
Like 19.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
And I just recorded stuff in my room, you know, just on acoustic. And he was like, okay, I'd love to do that. And I swear, from that point on, they just started using the crap out of it.
So you recorded all this music, and it went straight into, like, Real World episodes.
I was...
Oh, wait, some of the things you had. Biggest Loser, MTV's Real World, Bad Girls, One Tree Hill. Yeah, that's crazy. And TV placements are... That's, like, some serious dough.
Well, for a kid, it was.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's instant.
It is instant, and...
Because people don't realize, like, when you get a single or when you write a song and it gets on an album of an artist, it might take years to release, and then you might not even ever get a single or much money.
Yeah, yeah, you might not get money at all, especially because if you have to recoup from a publishing deal or something.
Oh, yeah.
I had no publishing. I didn't even know what publishing was.
So you're, like, rolling in dough at 19.
Yeah. Well, ish. I was paying my bills, but... So it did kind of give me this, like, oh my God, I could do music for a living.
Yeah.
And so I ended up signing an independent record deal, and then that didn't go so well. And then
what happened?
I just, it was kind of a Christian based thing, but I really wasn't a Christian artist.
Wait, wasn't your band called, your first band called Farewell to Arms?
It was.
That's a serious name.
I was really into Dashboard Confessional, I wanted to be him so bad. So I was like, I'll just name myself something like a band.
Yeah,
so I called myself A Farewell to Arms. It worked. I mean, for that scene of music, it worked.
Was that your first record deal, that band?
No, I ended up going by Corey Crowder on the record deal. But I wasn't a Christian artist, and they were pushing me as one. It didn't work. I had no business being in that genre.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it kind of taught me a few lessons and ended up getting a developmental deal with Sony.
Okay.
That brought me back to Nashville.
I
lived in Nashville for like 8 months.
When all the
Christian stuff was going on. And it was, I didn't know anybody. It was kind of depressing being here when you don't know anybody.
And you're so young.
Young and just like broke because it's so expensive here. Just so broke. Golly. I mean, me and Lainey used to eat our like really nice meal was going to Outback and eating French onion soup and free bread.
Oh.
That was our really nice dinner.
And sweet as that, though.
Oh, it was so bad.
Aren't you glad you had the hungry years, though?
Yes, no doubt.
Because it makes you who you are.
It does. I'm very thankful for them. Okay. We're spoiled now, but I had a developmental deal that introduced me to every writer in town that I had ever wanted to write with.
And it's such a huge writing community here.
It is. And the biggest part for me was just getting to know the people.
Yeah.
And I signed a publishing deal with Universal, and I just got introduced to a lot. And it was like, for me, it was like songwriting camp. Even though I had written, you know, three like independent albums for myself,
mm-hmm.
I didn't really know how to write a song. I just was just winging it.
Yeah.
Oh,
by the way, why did you start writing songs when you were a kid?
I don't know. I really don't. I had no big, awesome story about that.
You just started doing it and liked it.
Yeah, I played guitar. I took lessons as a kid. I didn't even know I could sing good. Like nobody, nobody in my family is musical. So I had no idea. And I started I think our youth group at church needed somebody to play guitar. And they were like, do you sing at all? And I was like, I don't think I sing good. And then I sang and they were all like, man, you sing really good.
Yeah, you have a great voice. Like one of the best.
Well, at the time I didn't know. I mean, you know, when you've never been told you're good, you just think you're just.
And you're not from like a musical community.
Yeah, I didn't have anybody that taught me. I didn't know. Mm-hmm. So I started just writing songs just for fun, I guess.
And then the Real World happened. And then the development deal. Well, then the first record deal and then the Sony.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely like, I mean, not to over-spiritualize it, but like, I definitely think it was one of those things that God had to kind of like create a few of those things for me to just... Or else I would have never believed it. You know what I mean?
Given you those opportunities that were kind of just pulled you
in. They were undeserved, really. As far as like, I didn't work for them early on. It was just more, you know, I think God's way of being like, hey,
this
is where you're going.
Hello, we're in an interview. You can come join. Oh,
Scott Ponce, everybody.
Come on, say hi. No, you got to talk in the microphone. This is Corey's.
You got to now.
Come say hi.
You have to now.
Tell us one enlightening thing. This is Corey's publisher. No, you have to. He's here right now.
He's so shy.
You're on. You got to say
something
enlightening.
I love how shy he is.
Right now. You have 10 seconds. Come on. Hurry.
This is not my shining moment.
This is not Scott. Scott has prouder moments than this.
I'm behind the scenes, not in front of the camera.
That's his line. He's behind the scenes. This is the man making it happen.
Have a wonderful interview.
So we're at Corey's publishing company right now. And that was his publisher that popped in. Publishing companies are so fun.
They are.
There's always cool people around the building. Yeah. Songwriters are coming in. Like,
this place is energy. A family, too, because, you know, kind of to fast forward a little bit, like, you know, when my deal at Universal ended, I had...
We haven't gotten there. Sony first.
Sony, I didn't... My record deal didn't happen. I had a developmental deal.
At Sony.
It just never fully developed into something. I delivered sides and...
Well, and maybe like you were saying, like it happened so young, you weren't quite fully ready for it because you said, like you were talking about.
Yeah.
It was spiritual. Like God had given you these things you weren't maybe deserving of yet.
Right.
To let you know this was your path.
Yeah. And you know.
But you were deserving of it because he gave you the talent for it.
Yeah. I mean, but you know what I mean by that. I mean, right. There's people that just grind and grind. And when I think I associated writing and production and artists all in this like same hat.
Mm-hmm.
But there, I didn't realize that there was a career to be had for me in just writing and producing. Like, I never considered that. I always thought, like, man, I have to be an artist or else nothing.
Yeah.
And then once I kind of started seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, like, I randomly got, right after I kind of lost my Sony deal, I was still at Universal writing, and Kenny Rogers randomly wanted to record a song of mine. And so
I think
that was, like, the first moment where I was like, oh crap! Like I could be a writer.
Yeah.
Like only, you know. Like,
yeah.
This is great.
And that's kind of what spoke to your heart the most, right?
Yeah, because I mean, I played shows. I mean, from the time I was 18 to 27 when I stopped being an artist, and I played lots of dates. Like I didn't do this whole weekend gig thing. I mean, I was gone for months at a time.
Really.
And I never stopped getting nervous. Before I played, which is so weird. Like, just you think, like, over time you'd stop getting nervous. I didn't. I always was nervous.
Did you dread it?
I dreaded it. It was my least favorite part about what I did.
Did you like it once you were on stage?
I mean, once I got a few songs in, it was cool, but it never felt like a natural spot for me. And so now it's just funny. Like, now I have people be like, you don't miss being an artist? I'm like, hell no. God, that was no way. I'd much rather see my songs being sung in front of 10,000 people than be the guy.
Totally. But I feel like we were talking a little bit before. Sometimes you don't know exactly what you were totally called to do. You just sort of start going towards a direction.
Yeah.
And like with Nashville, there's so many, like you were saying earlier, there's so many different roads in this entertainment industry. But it's sort of hard to figure them out until you're just in it.
Well, and part of it's too, like, you start going, man, I don't think I can get somebody excited about me as a writer. You know, you don't have the confidence in that yet. So you're like, I know I can get them excited about me as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do that. And then let's just see what happens off of that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, I think sometimes you just have to go with what you think you can break in with. And then...
Totally.
But people like Scott and Liz, so, you know.
And those are your publishers.
Yeah.
So oh, by the way, Scott and Liz Ponce and Liz Rose, who wrote Girl Crush, is Corey's publisher.
Yeah, so Liz became a good friend of mine because I started working with Jamie Lynn Spears.
Oh, yeah.
Right at the end of my Universal publishing deal.
Okay.
And Liz and I became good buddies. And I'll never forget, I was like shopping around to publishers, you know, like taking meetings and. I hadn't really talked to Liz, and I don't know why. I didn't want to put her in an awkward position to say no.
Yeah.
Because we were buddies and writing. And so we were in the studio with Jamie Lynn, or cutting, and she goes, I'll never forget, she goes, hey, I'm mad at you, by the way. And I was like, for what? She was like, because you are looking for a publishing deal and you haven't talked to me. I was like, that's bullcrap. I was like, you knew I needed a publishing deal. You could have talked to me. And she was like, well, I want your publishing. I want to work with you. So I came and met with Scott, and Natalie was here at the time. Natalie Pasley.
She's married to Eric Pasley.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I met them for beers, and it was awesome. And we started just kind of dating, so to speak.
Yep.
And here I am. This
then
is awesome.
Then y'all got married.
We got married.
How's the marriage been?
We've had plenty of song babies together.
Which, by the way, we're kind of jumping everywhere. Corey's about to have his second number one.
Woo!
His first number one was Chris Young, I'm Coming Over. What? That was a 3-week number one?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That's stupid.
That's crazy.
And now you're having your second number one with Chris Young and Cassidy Pope. It's a duet.
Yep.
Think of you. They played it on the ACMs, which was amazing.
Yeah, that was cool.
So does that just freak you out with excitement when you hear it and like when you saw it on the ACMs?
That was really cool. I mean, first of all, to see it played was really cool and see it in person. But we had two nominations. So
what were the nominations?
I went from 2 years before sitting in like the cheap seats to being on the nominee floor and like walking the red carpet with Chris. It was really, it seemed to me like it happened really fast, you know?
Yeah.
Like I know to maybe people here, I've been a while. Because
you've been here how many years now?
6 this time.
Yeah.
And I've been around and I know maybe it didn't seem that fast to other people, but God, it felt fast to me, you know?
Yeah.
Just me and Lainey were walking the carpet and she was like whispering in my ear. She was like, this is weird. I was like, yeah, this is really weird. It's like, but don't act like it's weird. Just act like it's really normal. At least I saw Javi. I saw Michael like ahead of me and I was just like, all right, I feel comfortable.
Like, I know it.
I see Michael up there. This isn't that bizarre. And I was with Chris. So Chris is one of my best friends too. So it was like, this is
weird getting thrown into those situations because you belong there, but like it's also like, holy shit, there's Jason Aldean and there's like, you know, Keith Urban. But it's weird because like your community is now becoming those people.
Yeah.
And because you're kind of right, you kind of rise up as classes, I feel like, in a way.
Totally.
And now it's like, that's your people now. They need you just as much as you need them, and everyone works together.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird.
To be in that group?
It is when you think about it, but it doesn't feel very weird, you know? I mean, because these are all buddies.
Mm-hmm.
It is weird. It's weird. I'll tell you, it was cool for me. My mom and my stepdad came out to Vegas, and this is the first time they've ever been kind of thrown into this world.
Yeah.
Where they get to, like, see celebrities and stuff. And, you know, we were just like, we'd run into, like, Cole Swindell, who's a buddy from Georgia, you know? And like we'd shake hands and I was like, oh dude, this is my mom and my stepdad Rick, and like they'd walk away and be like, that was Cole Swindell, and I was like, oh yeah, that was Cole Swindell.
Yeah,
like, just didn't like
click
hit me,
because to you it's just another human that you work with that you know,
right. Yeah, because we know what, even though it looks like this to the world,
so
we know what it looks like behind
dazzling.
The scenes. It's not very flashy behind the
it's
scenes.
It's really not. No. Tell me what behind the scenes look like to you.
It looks like this.
Which is a beautiful studio on a beautiful day. Great
thank
Mac
you.
Computer. You got all your...
This is Corey's MacBook on here.
Bells and whistles.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, everyone, in case you didn't know, Corey Crowder is the man responsible for my theme song.
Caroline. Yeah.
I know. I felt very honored you did that because you're very busy. So to write my theme song was very nice.
If I haven't told you, this is where I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
So we're in Vegas.
Yeah.
And Caroline is ever hanging out. I don't even remember this.
Like me, Caroline?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just speaking about you.
In third person. Yeah. Like Garth, you know.
It's not weird, is it?
No.
Okay. we were talking. I think me and Michael were playing blackjack or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking to Lainey and you were like, I think you should name your baby. Because we're having a baby girl.
And I'm going
to
name her Caroline.
You were like, I think you should name her Caroline. It's a strong name. I've never hated my name. It was so hilarious.
I love my name.
I know. So the next morning, me and Lainey are having breakfast. And we're like... Lainey, I was like, how awesome is Caroline? I was like, she is so funny. She was like, I love her. And Michael.
By the way, Lainey is Corey's wife, and she is one of the coolest chicks in this town. They're about to pop out their new baby.
I agree.
She's just a badass.
She is.
And beautiful, inside and out.
Yeah, I way outpunted my coverage with her.
You guys are a great couple. Y'all are a power couple.
Well, we were like, man, Caroline is a cool name. And then our waitress walks up, and she's this like, kind of exotic looking lady, like she's like, I don't know, maybe Filipino or something, I don't know, but she says and her name tag says Carolina.
I love Carolina.
And I was like, Lainey,
are y'all gonna name her Carolina?
That's the name.
Carolina
Joy. So it was totally inspired.
Love it. I love you. I love
it. It was
Carolina.
Inspired by our conversation.
Carolina Joy.
And then we started
get
thinking
out the house.
We started thinking, me and Lainey got married and we lived in South Carolina for 4 years. So we started
I'm
a
so
life together.
I'm so jealous of this name.
And so I was like, Carolina Crowder sounds like a strong name.
Sounds like she's going to be a badass. Like, what is she going to do? Something amazing.
I know. And it doesn't sound like a stripper name. So that was what I was worried about.
It sounds beautiful.
Yeah,
Carolina?
Yeah.
I want to cry.
And so this is a cool story too. So
Corey.
My mom's middle name is Joy, which is one reason we were doing it.
Well, and people live up to their names.
Totally.
So if you give her the name Joy, she's going to be joyful.
I know. And this is, you're just going to give you chills. So we decide on Carolina Joy. Lainey has a aunt that she was adopted. Mm-hmm. And she really didn't have any family. Like, her only family was Lainey's parents. And, like, she's always around. Super nice. Joy Harris. She was, like, the coolest. I mean, I just considered her an aunt, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and so we told her, we were like, hey, you know, one of the reasons, too, we liked Joy was because we were like, oh, Joy Harris, duh. Like, how cool is that?
Mm-hmm.
So we told her, and she flipped out. She was like, because, I mean, it felt, made her feel like,
so,
like part of the family.
Yeah.
Well, like, 2 weeks ago, she died of a heart attack, like, in the middle of Academy Sports. And I was like, this is unbelievable. Like, and we're about to have a little girl, and her name's Joy, you know, like, Carolina Joy.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, wow.
But how amazing that you told her
I know, and she was so happy, like, just bragging about it at the beach. And I was like, man, what a cool, I mean, terrible.
Right.
Devastating, very hard for the family. But what a cool thing for her to have known about.
Yes.
So, Carolina Joy, it's a super meaningful name, and okay, you're part of it. Come on!
First off, Carolina. I've thought about the name Carolina before because it's so beautiful. Like, in Carolina, the South, North and South Carolina, there's some of the best cities in those states. Like you said, y'all have a connection to it.
Yeah.
And it's original.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, Carolina's been the best name. That's what I was trying to tell you. Yeah. I really sold myself.
Yeah. I mean, you never know. People might call her Caroline. I mean, never, yeah. It might just be easier to say than Carolina, but.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
Isn't that cool?
I'm so happy I could be a small part of your
you
story.
You were. Lainey was like, you should tell her that. So that this morning. Cause she, I was like, I don't think she knows. I know Michael knows, but.
That's so awesome. Of course, Michael forgot.
His publishing company is like.
Carolina June.
Yeah. So he was like, dude, I love that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so awesome. Yeah. I can't wait to meet her.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry, I just deterred our conversation.
It's okay. There's no real path here. It's like the bumpy long road, like you said.
Yeah,
bumpy that's long road. Same thing with this interview. We can go wherever we want.
I think me and Michael have the same ADD as well.
Yeah, for sure. Michael, oh, yeah. You guys, I love watching y'all together. He gets so excited when he sees you.
Oh, I told Lainey my favorite part about people like him is I can turn off the Nashville thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you turn on a Nashville
what
thing.
What is the Nashville thing?
This, like, need to, like, be guarded or to, like, it sounds so dumb. But, like, when I'm around Hobby, there's no, like, we're not talking about music. And if we are, it's not stressful.
It's enjoyable.
Yeah. We're just hanging. Like, it is just, we can just be. Like, I don't feel like there's any agenda ever. It's just hanging.
Which y'all created the American Hang because of that reason.
Yeah.
Which tell me about that.
That is exactly what you're talking about with the class though. Mm-hmm. So me and Michael actually had the idea. He was like, dude, what if we every Monday just got some beer and just wrote a song? Or didn't. Just hung out.
Just put yourself in the space to do it.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, that's a great idea. I'm in. And neither one of us had shit going on. Like, nothing.
Like, no number one songs.
No, like, they had lost their record deal, I think, from what?
Interscope.
So they were here, like, trying to get a deal, just, like, touring, trying to write.
Yeah.
But, like.
Trying to get something going.
Yeah. And I had just lost my deal, and I was trying to figure my life out.
Aren't those moments, like, before you get to the next moment of greatness, aren't those moments kind of like, do you ever feel like, is anything ever going to.
Yes,
happen?
I mean, we did. This is our conversations every time we hung out. We were like, I mean, we could write the best song ever, and it wouldn't matter. Like, you know.
Because nobody cares right now.
But, so, he was like, who do you think we should get? And I was like, we should get Neil Mason.
Oh, yeah.
From Cadillac 3, who, they didn't have anything going on either. They were actually called Cadillac Black, I think, at the time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, that's, yep.
And then, Kale Dodds is one of my best friends, like, for my whole life. Like, I've known him since he was a kid.
Oh, I didn't know y'all went that far back.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, dude, we got to get Kale. And I was like, well, there's our foursome.
Yeah.
So every Monday night, we would write, demo, and drink while writing. And then we'd go to ML Rose and play Hoop Shoot and drink beer. And, I mean, it was just a ritual. And we ended up writing, like, a bunch of the Thousand Horses stuff.
Drunk Dial.
Unintentionally. Like
Drunk Dial Southernality.
Yep. And we jokingly, because Neil's band used to be called American Bang, Kale was like, we should call it American Hang. Neil was very against this, by the way, at first. He was like, no, that's lame. We can't do that. And then But then it became such a joke. We kept calling it that.
You couldn't think of a better name.
It just became the Hang, the American Hang.
Can't deny what's meant to be.
I know.
You know?
But what's cool about it is, 1,000 Horses, obviously killing it. They had a number one with Smoke.
Mm-hmm.
A top 20 with Drunk Dial. They're killing it. They're on the road with Aldean. You know, Cadillac 3 had singles out there on the road with Florida Georgia Line.
Yep.
Kale's about to get a record deal. I'm writing and producing.
On your second number one hit.
It's crazy. And none of us had shit going on like 4 years ago.
Can you believe that?
It's so cool.
Doesn't it feel like magic?
It does. It makes our times when we get together now just like we all just kind of look at each other and we're like, all right, let's cheers. This is badass.
Which, by the way, y'all just wrote an amazing song. This Willie, whatever it was called.
Oh, God. The new Horses That Did Jam.
Oh, yeah. It's so freaking good.
So good.
And I think that the American Hang is awesome because, like you said, y'all can just relax. And you can get crazy and get weird. And just like, you don't have to be like, you know, like so worried about the Nashville thing.
Yeah.
Like, or impressing anyone.
I like riding with those guys because we refuse to do anything normal. We're like, let's just be weird.
Yeah.
It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's like a soul filler day.
You can push yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just no boundaries. We're just like, let's just get weird and write something fun.
I love it. Who else do you love writing with?
I am really digging writing with Randy Montana right now.
Oh, he's awesome. And he had his own record deal. Did he have a hit song on the radio at one point? He wrote Suds in the Bucket.
Yeah, I don't.
You haven't studied his catalog?
Unfortunately, don't know. But all I know is that he's badass. Uh-huh. And we are writing great songs. We just got a John Party cut together.
Oh, great.
One of my favorite songs I wrote last year, John Party cut, which that never happens. You know, usually you write a song with an artist or the producer or somebody associated, but it's really hard, I found, to get an outside song cut.
Yes, when an artist is not writing on the song.
It's just hard.
Yeah.
And truly. We wrote this song with Jeremy Stover, and it's one of my favorites. And
what's it called?
It's called Turn You Down, or I Can't Turn You Down. I can't remember what they ended up going with for the title, but I don't care. They could call it
Who cares?
Anything.
Just cut it.
But it's just a cool, vibey song. Randy can sing anything, and I like it. But I like him. I'm really digging right with Matt Jenkins right now.
Oh, yeah.
And
he wrote Cop Car.
Yeah, he wrote Where It's At.
Oh, for Dustin Lynch.
Mm-hmm. He just wrote Confession, the Florida Georgia Line number one.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, he's badass. And I always love Carrie Barlow.
Oh, yeah.
Carrie Barlow's, well, I mean, other than the Hang guys, I mean, those guys are the days that I like. I refuse to do anything normal with those guys, you know?
That's awesome.
It's like, today we're going to write something great, or we're not going to write at all. Like,
I love that.
I refuse to let this write go to waste.
Oh, how awesome is that?
Yeah.
Who are your favorite artists to work with?
Well, right now, as far as you mean production or writing?
Either.
Well, obviously, Chris
Young
has been one of my favorite of all time. I mean,
yeah.
Just for obvious reasons, and we're good buddies, and we write good stuff.
And also, you produce Chris Young. I don't know if I said that.
I do. Me and him actually co-produced his record.
That's awesome.
Which is fun, because I love having Chris's studio brain like associated with it, too, because he's really great in the studio as far as he has tons of good ideas. He has a really good understanding of, you know, where it's going to end up. You know what I mean? Because it's hard to see that vision.
Yeah.
But I love, you know, I'm working on a new artist, Seth Innes, right now at Sony. He is awesome. He's the first one that I've been a part of from, like, conception of him. Like, I found him, brought him to Scott. We signed him some publishing deal. We got him a record deal. And then now I'm working on his record. It's like,
how cool is that?
It was really fun.
This is like your baby.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I just cut some sides on Cassidy Pope. Love her.
She's
awesome.
She's so good.
She is
her
amazing.
Her voice is great. And she's just like cool.
She is the coolest.
Yeah.
The coolest. I mean, she's, if I were a girl, I would want to be like Cassidy. She's, you know what I mean?
What's like, she like?
She has a tattoo sleeve. She's like a beautiful girl, but she's also like a super cool hang.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. She's an unbelievable singer.
Yeah.
But she's just like great energy, great vibes to be around. Kale Dodds, I just produced his stuff. I love working with one of my best buds.
Yep.
I did Jamie Lynn Spears.
Oh, did you ever meet Brittany?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What was Brittany like? And I love Jamie Lynn,
she's
by the way.
She's super sweet.
She was so cool.
Gorgeous.
She is.
Gorgeous.
Everything.
Kind of one of those people, though, because you've only seen them on TV.
Yes. They don't feel real.
When, yeah, exactly. You're talking, I'm talking to her, and I know she's a real person, but for some reason, she just doesn't seem like
you
a
can't
human.
Believe it.
Yeah.
I know. There's only a few people in that category for me, and they're kind of mainly pop stars, because country is so, like, tangible for us, you know? Like, yeah. We're so involved in this community, but, like, Katy Perry and, like, Britney Spears and Jennifer Lopez.
I was like that when I met, me and Lainey were in Vegas. I was out riding with Rascal Flatts, and they got asked by Steven Tyler to come watch one of his shows.
Okay.
And so afterwards, so we got the suite. Now, I thought it was cool, just like that was cool for me. Yeah. Just to watch him play from a suite in Vegas. And then Joe Don was like, hey, you want to go down to his green room and kick it with him? And I was like,
yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I
so,
guess I'm
like,
free.
Seeing him in person was kind of like, what the heck?
What was that like?
He's awesome.
And he's around Nashville now a lot.
Yeah, and I know a lot of my friends have written with him and like know him, but that doesn't make it any less crazy.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be like that around Dave Grohl, too. I'm a big Dave Grohl fan. So yeah. I think I would geek out over Dave Grohl.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so who would you geek out over? Dave Grohl?
Dave Grohl for sure. You're going to laugh, but Ellie Goulding...
You love her?
And it has nothing to do with her looks. It is strictly... you know that
I
song?
Michael loves that song, too.
I know. You know, Why I Got You On My Mind?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? So Walker, my little boy, thinks that it says, Why I Got You On My Mommy? And so, which is kind of kinky, but we just, like, let him embrace it.
Uh-huh.
And he sings it. And so it's really funny. Every morning, like this morning, just a minute ago, he said, Can we have a dance party in my Jeep?
Stop.
So we, like... We probably look so goofy, me and this three-year-old in the back. We're like, "Why I got you on my mommy?" I would geek out over her, though.
Okay.
I don't know why. She just...
She's awesome.
She's so good.
So what'd you talk to Brittany about?
We were filming something.
Okay. Is it a secret?
I'm going to be politically...
Is it recent?
Yeah. We were filming something for Jamie Lynn, and she was in it.
Okay.
That's all. I think that's all I can probably... Say.
Cool.
But we were filming something and she was there. And she was at Jamie Lynn's wedding too, so I got to meet her there.
Okay.
But we were actually like in close quarters like this for the
shoot. Like she breathed on you.
Yeah.
How'd her breath smell?
It's amazing.
Yeah. Okay. And Jamie Lynn's amazing too. She's her own talent. Like
Jamie
and that's
Lynn
a big
is cool as crap.
And that's a big shadow to live under for Jamie Lynn, you know? And she's like totally emerged as her own.
She does her own thing.
She
I mean,
does.
It's there's at least I don't pick up on it. I don't think there's any weirdness.
I don't either.
I think she just does her.
I feel like she does too, and she's just chill.
We just cut some new stuff on her, and it is bad to the bone.
And her voice is great.
Oh, yeah, and it's developed, like, into this, like, cool thing where she has super confidence in it now, and, like, it's just tone, and it's just a very unique, its own thing. It's really cool. Her live show's gotten so good, and, like, I mean, she just kind of, like, over the years grew up and created this thing, and... I think people are going to dig this new stuff.
I can't wait to hear it.
Her and Liz and Heather Morgan and Emily Shackleton, they all went to the beach.
Oh.
Like Tina Parole and all these girls. I'm missing people, but they all went to the beach and they wrote.
Did they not invite you?
I didn't want to go. There's too many girls.
Corey, you can't handle all those females. You can handle females.
I can't. So I got one at home. That's enough. So they wrote these awesome songs and they came back and... I'm really excited for people to hear it. I love being a part of her stuff.
That's awesome.
Cool. Yeah, it's cool. I'm lucky. I'm getting to produce a lot of cool stuff and write on stuff. I'm having fun. That's my one rule in production. If I'm not having fun, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
That's why production world's fun for me is if I can have fun with it and like be excited about it, then I want to do it.
Yeah.
But if it's stressful and it's just a job, I don't. That's the thing.
Where do you get your inspiration for producing? Like, how do you, because, okay, I don't know if people, regular people who aren't in the music industry know this, but, like, building tracks and all the behind-the-scenes production, like, it's very complex.
Yeah.
How do you figure out where you want to go and where you're inspired?
You know, I really don't, I just, like, every day pray that, like, I don't run out of that.
Pray for inspiration?
Yeah.
Like, that's what Bob DePiro does, too.
I mean, I'm serious. It's like I really have no reason why it's there. Like, why I'm able to hear a song and know where I want it to go and be confident in it, or wake up with a new idea to write, or wake up with a new groove or melody to do. Mm-hmm. I have no idea why that's there, and I just am like staying thankful for it and just like, please don't let it run out. And I guess if it ran out, I'd just take a trip for a little bit and just try to get
fill it back up. Yeah.
But it, I think part of that is just surrounding myself with really talented people to stay fed and inspired. Because I think that's what's cool about co-writing and working with different people is they inspire you in different ways. And
yeah,
I mean, when I write with Randy, I write a certain kind of song. Like
what kind?
I don't know. It's just like we're in a band for the day. You know what
okay.
I mean?
Okay, so y'all are like in the same wavelength.
Yeah, and the same thing with Michael. It's like me and Michael write songs that we write, like, you know what I mean? Like,
but you couldn't write that with someone else.
No, like, we're like in a band for the day. Like,
yeah,
it's like, and that's what we get, what comes out of those writes sounds like me and him.
So it's almost like, putting it in a different way, like how you have friends, like your relationship, like with your wife or your relationship with a friend, it's different in each friendship. So like a write with a different person, it's different in each write.
It is. I love that. I mean, you know, there's some people that, you know, they always write songs that sound like them. But I kind of like hopping on different trains, you know, every day.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps me interested. So, you know, one day we might write a super pop song, you know, and one day it might be super country. It might be super rock one day. I love that. That's fun.
Yeah. Is it stressful thinking about having to get cuts, or do you just let that go? Tell people what it's like being a professional songwriter. Like you said, not an artist, you know, just needing other artists to cut your songs. What does that feel like?
It's hard to describe. It's a scary, unknown feeling. And there's so many factors that play into it. Like,
such as?
Who you're friends with. I don't mean that as like something shady goes on. I just mean like just by nature of business, like people like doing business with people they're friends with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, if I'm not friends with, just pick an artist, Tim McGraw, if he's not a good buddy of mine and none of his camp is good buddies of mine,
you're not on the
radar.
It's
just harder to get a song in that camp than it would be if those were my good pals.
Right.
And I'm just using that as an example. That,
totally.
That's definitely not a true statement about that, but it's like,
yeah.
That just means. And so, you know, you kind of have to embrace that a little bit and just be like, and not get your feelings hurt, and just try to write the best song you can every day.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, I will say there is another element of like being smart about it and being like, hey, look, I know Luke Bryan's making a record coming up, you know, and it wouldn't hurt for me to like get in that headspace for a few weeks and like just really like try to listen to what his records and like what his language is, you know, to know like,
yeah,
and just shoot for it. I mean, it doesn't hurt. I mean, everybody has different approaches. I enjoy that. Like trying to get my brain into his, what would he want to say and how would he want to say it and what's cool and all that mixed into like what you do naturally, you know?
So it's a lot. It's head games.
It is. And I think the biggest thing I've learned is embracing that, like, I'm not going to be the best writer for every record.
Right.
So I might not be the dude that ever gets a Carrie Underwood cut, and I'm okay with that. I would love a Carrie Underwood cut.
Yeah.
But like maybe I'm not the best writer for Carrie Underwood's record, you know? There's probably much better writers in town that write that stuff. But maybe I am the best writer for Chris Young record, you know, like.
True.
And I think just kind of embracing that, like, hey, look, you can't be badass at every genre and style and.
Well, there's so many different flavors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think just like that's been really big for me in the last year, just kind of embracing like, okay, I'm me and this is what I'm good at. I'm just going to do me and whatever that produces will be good.
Truly.
You know?
Yeah.
And you ride it out as long as you can. I can't remember who told me this. They said if you have one run in this town, I think it was Mark D. Sanders. Maybe I might be wrong. But he said, if you have one run as a songwriter in this town, you're so lucky.
Yeah.
If you have two runs in this town,
what does a run mean?
You're a legend. And I was like, oh damn. And it's true, because like a run meaning like you have a streak of cuts and singles and hits and like a real run.
Like you're on your run right now.
God, I hope it keeps going. But like if you're lucky enough to have one that do one that lasts a long time, you're like, it's super fortunate. But if you can like stick around, like Liz has, like stick around for like multiple decades and like still get cuts and still have singles, like.
And by the way, Liz Rose wrote like all of Taylor Swift's first album.
Like songs about rain for Gary Allen, which is an unbelievable song.
I love that song.
Crazy Girl, Lee Bryce. She wrote Girl Crush.
Yeah.
She has like a bunch of cuts coming out. I think I don't want to speak too soon on cuts she has, but
she's like
killing it.
She's a freak of nature.
Yeah. She's I learn every time I write with Liz, I learn.
What do you learn?
She's not afraid. She's like the most fearless writer I've ever written.
She'll just
with.
Spit out stuff.
Yeah, should.
She didn't care.
She's not worried about you thinking she sounds stupid.
And that is, you have. So she dares to suck every day and could care less.
I love it. It's the best, and get such good songs that way.
Because then, like, all of a sudden, it'll trigger something in your mind that you wouldn't have thought about.
Yeah. Stream of consciousness. Just.
She spits it out.
I love it. It makes writes with her so fun. And they tend to go fast because of that, because there's not a lot of, like, silent sitting and.
So she has a great stream of consciousness.
She does.
That's another thing. Like, she has a lot of thoughts happening.
Yeah. I mean, her like, songwriting form, like, that would be what we're talking about, is really great. But also, just, she has a lot of talent, too. I mean, that form, it doesn't happen well. I mean, you can spit out a bunch of bull crap, but she actually has great
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've learned a lot from her.
So just to be more fearless.
Yeah.
You seem fearless.
I mean, I'm getting way more fearless day by day.
Do you think as you get older, you just kind of get more, like you were saying, just like, this is me, this is what I do. Like, you know what you're good at now, so like you can just feel
maybe
more.
That is it. Maybe
comfortable
it is age.
To be yourself.
Maybe it is age too. Just a little bit of maturity. I don't know. I think it's probably a mixture of that, and you know, once you feel what it's like to get a cut or like have a single, it's like the confidence level goes up.
Yeah.
Like, I think before, I just kind of felt like, man, I could write the best song that's ever happened, and it wouldn't matter. And so, like, that thought keeps you from writing good stuff.
Because we build our own, like, walls and, like, ceilings.
It's like, what is it called? Like, it's a self...
fulfilling prophecy.
Self-fulfilling prophecy. It's almost like...
I interviewed Tim Shaw. He's a Titans football player, former, and he said the same thing. We all decide... where we're like the highest we can go, and you know, like we put limits on ourselves.
Yeah, and it's like once you realize, like, oh my god, like I can write songs, and they can be singles, and they can be number one songs, and
you can be that.
I can produce records that are hit records, and like you start believing this about yourself, and then it just starts happening, you know. And so it's like it's kind of an amazing. There's probably a deeper lesson to be learned in life about that, but
I think manifesting, vision, being of it. Do you visualize?
Yeah, I mean,
how do you visualize?
I mean, I don't like. I'm not intentional about it. I think that's just my personality in general.
So, what does that look like in your head?
You know, like I always tell Annie, the action's the best action.
Yeah. Okay.
And she always hates when I say that because she's like a thinker and planner, and I'm like, no, just act.
Yeah.
And like. Let God change your mind. If for some reason you're going on the wrong course, it'll fix it. It'll course correct.
That's true. That's so true.
Just act. Don't wait. Just act. And that's kind of how I do, even in this setting. It's just like, just go. I'm just going to start building.
Do you get like an urge or something? Or how do you know what to act?
I just go on gut. You know, I've never gone on gut and regretted it.
I totally agree. And I think that's God talking to us, right?
Yeah. I think that's your intuition and your... you know, discernment, you know, in life is just, I think we're all probably given that to a degree and we just have to learn to trust it.
Don't you think people are scared to trust it?
Yes.
Like you have to choose to trust your gut and your intuition.
And I think at this point, I've heard the word no so many times that I'm kind of just like, it doesn't mean anything to me. So it's like, or like that sucks, you know? So it's just like, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
You know? It's not that big of a deal. I've hit plenty of walls in life to now know, like, it's not... Life's too short. It's YOLO, man. YOLO!
You got to.
Yeah.
When did you start trusting your intuition, though?
I've kind of always been that guy. I mean, I went to college. I didn't like it. I didn't like college, so I just didn't go to class. I just fished and rode jet skis and drank.
Did you stay in college?
And played shows. I stayed until the free college ran up from Georgia.
How do you get free college?
They have Hope Grant.
Oh, nice.
But like I knew immediately that I wanted to be a musician. So I just played shows and I stayed home and I wrote and I played in bands.
Didn't go to class?
Nope. I didn't tell my parents.
Did you
know.
Pass?
No. Hell no.
You didn't care that you failed out of college?
No, I didn't. But it was one of those things that like I didn't care. I knew. I just trusted. This is what I want to do.
That's and serious trust.
And so I just, you know, I just started going on that path.
You're like, nope, didn't go to class.
I didn't. It was funny. I mean, we just rode around jet skis every day. And I mean, I went from time to time, but it was very rare. But it worked out. And I worked out.
I love See? It. You're just like, nope, not doing it. Michael didn't go to college either. I grew up thinking you had to go to college and get a degree. But like, that is true. Okay. I'm not saying. Some people need to go to college for their career and they feel called to be a doctor or a lawyer or a dentist or something.
Yeah.
But other people feel called to be a musician or something that doesn't involve college. And college is not necessary for everyone. And I did not know that. Like, you don't have to go to college.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel bad, like, encouraging people not to go to college.
But if you don't need it, then you shouldn't go.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that sometimes college is good to help you figure out who you are and what you want to do. So sometimes it's just good to go just by default.
Yeah.
Just learn, you know, what you want to do. But I do think the whole, like, go to college and just get a degree to get one. It's kind of weird.
It is weird.
It's a weird society thing we do.
Yeah, because, like, what if you don't even like your degree?
Yeah, I mean, like, what? Like my brother is a good example of, like, he went and got an agriculture degree.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I remember us being like, why would you do that? But it's so awesome that he did it because he knew he wanted to do that. He's a fireman, but he now runs a freaking farm.
And he loves it?
Loves it. And now that agriculture degree couldn't be more important.
But he knew.
He knew that that's where he really wanted to go in
you
life.
You have to follow your love.
Yeah.
Like your love, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to wrap up because I know you have a lot to do because you're like almost having the number one song.
This is awesome. I love chatting. This is awesome.
Well, you're very interesting, Corey. I like to wrap up with Leave Your Light. So basically, leave some inspiration, something that's inspired you or that you live by or how you want to inspire people.
I would say if you can get up, there's a Bob Dylan quote that I'm going to butcher, but I'm just going to do the Corey Crowder version.
Okay.
If you can get up every day and love what you do, you're a success, you know, and that's how you define success. And I think that if everybody in the world would just follow their passion and love and do what they love every day, that they would feel successful regardless of money and they'd be happier and that probably the world would be a better place. I mean, you know, I had this conversation with a good friend yesterday that used to be my guitar player, and I'm trying to convince him to move here. And I just told him, I was like, dude, there's no dollar sign on happiness.
That's so true.
If God meant for you to be a guitar player or a musician, then that's what you're meant to do.
There's no stopping it.
And until you do it, you won't be happy. And you could probably live the rest of your life and make crazy money and be unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always just am like a big believer in like do you and do what you're meant for at all costs. And
I totally agree.
I know that's cheesy and cliche.
You
but
have
I
to
just,
be brave.
I just think it's so important. You only get one life. And like my grandma used to tell me, you know, she always used to push this stuff too. And it's like she ran a jewelry business. She loved jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
She ran it her whole life, and they never made much money. They were broke their whole life. Like I think she, like, when she died, they were just in massive debt. But it didn't matter. She was happy. She was, like, super pumped about life because she did what she loved. She loved talking to people and bullshitting with people every day and buying jewelry and making jewelry. And I just, you know, so I've always just kind of lived by those rules.
I love that.
That's the way to go.
Well, thank you, Corey Crowder.
Yeah, thank you.
And now guess what's going to come on?
Caroline.
That's it. Okay, bye.
Caroline, she's the queen of talking. Hey, what's on your mind? She's on the inside. She got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like Caroline.
I hope you guys loved hearing from Corey Crowder. He is so awesome. Next week is really cool because I'm having an industry executive, quite the big wig, come in and tell us all the secrets and all the dirt that goes on behind the scenes. Rod Essig, he runs CAA, which is Creative Artist Agency. It's one of the biggest talent agencies in the world. And he's one of the biggest big wigs at that company. And he's going to tell us all about Cher, Sonny and Cher, all of the acts that he works with, from Tim McGraw to Lady Antebellum to Taylor Swift to Julianne Hough. He has worked with everyone, done everything. He knows everything, and he's so hilarious and so charismatic. So y'all get excited to hear from Rod Essick next week. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and under Hyper Caroline Hobby and leave some awesome comments, because that helps us grow this thing. Okay, see y'all next week. Bye.